go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And welcome aboard. It is Wednesday. Oh my God, it's already Wednesday. The 7th day of October, 2015. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And I am presently turning knobs and tweaking things so things sound right to me. And I hope they sound right to you. Yep, just double-checking, making sure I threw the third switch, that kind of thing. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is, of course, where we live. That's where you go if you would like to jump into the real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Indeed, I'm headed there right now, as a matter of fact. There we go. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Yep, okay, so that's out of the way. And yes, it is the middle of the week. It is, in fact, Wednesday. Good evening to Jeremy in Vermont, Jug of Punch, and Truth Seeker. More to come, more to wander by later in the evening, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky, our third stage guild navigator who has folded space to become Man Cave. We are off and running. Yes, indeed. If you would like, and I'll go ahead and it's kind of how we start the program every evening, isn't it? By noting that this all happens strictly and exclusively as a function of listener support. There's no ads here. Nothing of the sort. No ads for stupid, thank you very kindly. Jeremy in Vermont says loud and clear on TuneIn, Bob. Appreciate it. No hustles for stupid patent medicines from the from right-wing grifters and hustlers. No bowling balls, no wave radios, no Swedish mattresses with foam developed by NASA, no herbal erection generators or herbal hair growth tonics. None of that. Just your determination to have independent, commercial-free radio. God knows you can't find it on the censored, government-controlled FCC dial. Even the stuff that claims to be non-commercial is quite often not. Instead of ads, they have mentions. Right. You know, by like Northrop Grumman bombing brown people for prosperity and murka. Yeah. That kind of thing. None of that here. No. Just a community of people who, for a number of years, and I might add, since we are in the month of October 2015, nearly exactly 10 years, have kept all of this going. And since last night was one of those, if you do want to help out, the PayPal button is at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Under the tab Contribute, there's a couple of pushy questions you don't even have to fill out. You don't have to answer them. You don't have to say that you work, well, where? Let's see. Who else? Who have we not met? You don't work down to the Bluebird Diner with Juanita and get constantly harassed by Barney Fife. No. You can just leave that all blank and get to the next page where the decision about credit cards, PayPal balances, stuff like that gets made. Just get to the next screen. Mm-hmm. And last night was one of those sort of dry kind of evenings, arid even. We have an evening goal of $200, and last night we raised none of it. We did have some subscriptions come in, for which I am exceedingly grateful. And also, we have a challenge on the table. Joan, who is a regular and wonderful supporter of the program, has put a challenge on the table to try to knock out some of the backlog and catch up with tonight. She says, I'll match any and all odd cents the amounts the family wants to offer. That should make some fun additional mathematics gymnastics, because she starts out by saying she'll match the first $75.79. Ooh, it's going to be one of those evenings, isn't it? Joan will match the first $75.79 that comes in, and any and all odd cents amounts the family wants to offer. Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, make my little head hurt, absolutely. But that will be a good start toward knocking down the little deficit that we generated last night. Thanks also going out to subscribers. Yes, indeed. Thank you to Dennis, with whom I mow grass routinely and regularly, and thanks to our buddy Kevin out in Colorado Springs. So we've got something south of... Oh, wait, I'm still doing math. And thank you very kindly to John. We've got $375 to raise. And so Joan's kind matching offer will knock that down, if met, by a rock-solid $150 and odd change, which will send me, well, make my little brain steam. Well, now I'm curious. And thank you also to thank you to Harold for your subscription. That is much appreciated. I just try to, unless I'm told to keep things anonymous, I try to at least make some level of thanks for everything that comes in, because this is the very essence of how we keep all of this going. But, of course, as noted, it is, in fact, Wednesday. And you know what that means, more than just middle of the week, more than just downhill to Friday, more than just, you know, hump day. No. It is... prayer meeting Wednesday. Oh, yes. And goodness gracious me sakes alive, haven't we got some tales of faith in action to share? Mm-hmm. We've got some answers to some questions as well. Oh, yes, we do. But brethren and sister, and I tell you what, we'll get things going now. I have to tell you, it was a lovely, absolutely lovely prayer meeting Wednesday dinner down in the fellowship hall. We had lots of good fellowship, and in the second half of the second decade of the 21st century, brethren and sisters, if we have fellowship, doesn't that mean we also have galship? What's the gender opposite to feller? I don't know. I don't. So we'll have to sort that out. Maybe we can pray over it. Right? Yeah. But anyway, it was a lovely dinner. We had roast beef and brown gravy over mashed potatoes on thick slices of homemade bread toast. It was real tasty. And then there was a dump cake, you know, with the cherries and the cake mix and all of that stuff. Deacons went right after it, brethren and sisters, right after it. And afterward, leaving no crumb unturned, much to the consternation of the young'uns, the deacons trundled their bulk up the stairs and out into the parking lot where they stood there smoking with the sinners. But we've chased them on in through the vestibule, past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated buttermints, got them down front, waiting, brethren and sisters, glory, waiting, with the great big heavy brass plates with the little velvet liner in the bottom, a little PayPal button there, just press it, it wirelessly goes to the PayPal receiving office there back of the baptistry. Yes, it does. And as it kind of, every eye closed, every head bowed, except for that little kind of a crack you keep open in your left eye as the plate comes toward you to keep from getting cronked in the noggin. Right. With all of that having been said, we will call the minister of music forward, brethren and sistren, for our offertory hymn. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Worlds without. Amen.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah, whoever said religion should be free.
Oh, hot sut, rustin' on the rilla raw, and a brawler, brawler, suit, a kiddly divey too. Wouldn't you, brethren and sistren? Oh, I'm telling you, we have a wonderful evening planned right here, right now, this evening, brethren and sistren. And I'm urging you to get up off of your seat and onto your feet and out into that center aisle and come on down that blood red aisle and fall, glory, upon your knees at the altar, amen, hallelujah, and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you, from high glory, the surfer on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Antagonized Agnostic, Animated Animist, Bob Kincaid, and yes, it is time for Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. Amen, amen, brethren and sistren. I tell you what we do. We got some great tales of faith out there today. And you know, one of the things we have managed thus far not to get onto the Prayer Meeting Wednesday Fellowship dinner menu is some of that magnificent potato soup in a bucket and chocolate pudding in a bucket that Brother Jim Baker is selling for the end times apocalypse, Apocarev. Yeah, we haven't got, well, frankly, we can't afford it at $800 to $1,800 a bucket, but that doesn't make us want any less to try it. It's got to be fantabulous. Absolutely got to. Because nobody understands the danger, brethren and sistren, the threat, oh my beloveds, that this here country, the greatest country in the world on earth now today, forever, brethren and sistren, no, the reverb ain't broke, I'm just lazy up here in the pulpit. No one understands the danger we face better than a man who once built a water slide for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jim Baker knows. Oh, he knows, brethren and sistren, what kind of trouble we're in. What the liberals and the lesbian, homosexual, gay, transgendered, queer questioning heathens has put because God don't love us no more, and he's got some lessons he's got to teach us because the homosexuals is a getting married, the homosexual abortion havers, absolutely. And so we go now to the Vatican in the Ozarks, otherwise known as Branson, Missouri. Mm-hmm. For a dire warning from God's prophet here in Merca. Brother and sister, get ready. And you might want to consider some changes to your attire. I didn't say change your tars. I said some changes to your attire. Y'all got, okay. Take it away, Brother Jim.
Did. That was brilliant. I don't know if you've ever watched any of the history on all of that, but it was brilliant how he did, you know, back in the day when it was just radio, they would gather around the radio, the whole family.
That's what I'm waiting for leaders to do.
The president would say. That's right.
That's what I'm waiting for our leaders. They need to talk to us from their hearts.
Yes.
What happened to the heart, America? Where is America's heart? I went to get dressed, and God, I pray about what I wear. I really do. I know I look stupid sometimes, but
not half as stupid as you sound, Jim.
God told me to wear a color was red.
Right, I remember.
And what happened that day? The stock market crashed a few days ago.
That's right.
Red. Remember that?
I do. Don't you? How could we possibly forget? Jim Baker wears a really hideous red jacket from that apparently he got, I don't know, Fred's maybe, who knows. And the stock market crashes, and if I was a stock market, I'd crash too when Jim Baker done red his ugly red coat. The red coats is coming. The red coats is coming. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But see, Jim Baker's couturier is Almighty God. And here's the best part. They had planned for this in the pre-production meeting because they actually cut away to a brief bit of footage of Brother Jim Baker in his red jacket as he was talking about the day that God told him to wear a red jacket and the stock market done crashing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I tell you what, they got them some production values there. I can only dream. I can only dream about the kind of production gizmos and gadgets that they've got there. Mercy sakes alive. So, well, consider. Yeah, here we go. Because we all remember the day of the red jacket. Yes. And did you ever stop to think what a 5-gallon bucket of Jim Baker chocolate pudding must look like? Well, don't. Don't. Because in some parts of the country, this here is the dinner hour. And I hate to ruin anybody's meal. So don't be thinking about what a bucket, a 5-gallon, 1500, okay, maybe the chocolate pudding's $800. Don't be thinking about what a 5-gallon bucket of instant Jim Baker chocolate pudding looks like. Don't. I'm telling you, don't think about the 5-gallon bucket of chocolate pudding. Blech.
Today, God said, I want you to wear all black. Even my shoes are black.
I know.
My underwear is black.
Oh, my gosh. That's too.
My socks are black.
Okay, the kids call that TMI.
No. Yeah, the kids do. The kids call that TMI. Oh, my gosh, he's got black underwear on. He didn't tell you anything else about the black underwear, though, did he, honey? No, he didn't. And the camera pans around to all those confused tourists who got sleepily off the bus in Branson thinking that they were getting ready to go see the Porter Wagoner show, not realizing that Porter had been dead for a while. And next thing you know, they're sitting at tables being yacked at by Jim Baker hollering about, why aren't they talking? Why aren't our leaders talking to us from the heart? Well, because that Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, he don't have no heart. Maybe that's why God told Jim to wear black. And Emery and Marveline sitting out there on the chintzy folding chairs that are not weight rated for, no, never mind, with their suspenders and their yellow polo t-shirts, and you're like, where in the hell are we, Marveline? Where's Marty Robbins? What about that feller that sings about how he wants God to bless the USA? Where's he? Where's our tour guide? I think we've been had, Marveline. Shut up, Emery, and pray. We might get some of that chocolate pudding.
Too much information, because when God says, get the sin out, he meant get the sin out.
Yeah. That's good.
When you took over your enemy, you were to destroy every part of the enemy.
Oh, boy, that's true. Wow.
Even the part wearing the black underwear? Just asking. Did he wear red underwear with his red jacket? I don't want to know.
Wow.
And I'm in a mourning because people aren't ready.
Thank you to our fine friends over at Right Wing Watch. People aren't ready. No, they're not ready to see Jim Baker in black underwear. No. And then again, who is? Note coming in from Jack in Shreveport. All black? Who'd have thunk Jim Baker was a goth wannabe? Well, my thought, Jack, was that I wondered if maybe a cease and desist order might have been issued from the estate of the late John Cash. I thought he kind of had that nailed down. Mm-hmm. Jim noting, black underwear? Well, at least they don't show skid marks. Those are not skid marks. Those are racing stripes, Jim. Oh, dear. Organic racing stripes. And then there's the question, do we really care about Jim Baker's underpants? Or did we really need that visual? And the obvious answer is, well, yeah, no. No, not at all. But it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and we better care because these are the spiritual leaders of Merca. You want to know how we know, for instance, that that one in our White House is a secret Kenyan Muslim usurper? Well, it's let him who has eyes to see, let him see, and who has ears to hear, let him hear. Over to the Christian Broadcasting Network, David Brody had himself an interview with pastor, brother, governor, reverend, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman, Mike Huckabee. And Mike Huckabee knows how we can tell whether or not Barack Hussein Obama is a Christian. Mm-hmm. Let the Holy Ghost word of prophecy emanate from brother, pastor, reverend, brother, minister, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman, Mike Huckabee. Amen.
There were some reports about you concerned about, well, I'll let you explain about it, but or talk about it, but this idea that President Obama talks about, you know, his Christian faith, mm-hmm. but then the principles don't seem to follow. I want you to explain some of what you're talking about here.
Well, it's real simple. I mean, this is a guy, he says he's a Christian, he says he believes the Bible, and that's why he's for traditional marriage, then he says he's not anymore. This is the guy who gets up at the National Prayer Breakfast and criticizes Christianity for something that happened 1,000 years ago. He gets up on Easter and has a very harsh tone and really belittles so many of the Christians that he says he's known that he apparently doesn't like. He goes after the Little Sisters of the Poor with his administration, the Green family with Hobby Lobby, all Christians. But while it seems that there's this targeted effort, whether it's through the IRS or through the Justice Department, for Christians, doesn't lift a finger to help Kim Davis, an elected official, a Democrat, a fellow Democrat down in Kentucky. But we accommodate Nadal Hassan, the Fort Hood shooter who killed 14 people. We let him grow his beard while he's in jail. We accommodate the Gitmo detainees. We paint a little stripe in their cells. I've been there. I've seen it. We give them prayer rugs. We give them 5 times a day to pray and halal meals that are far more expensive, 3 times the cost of the meals that our soldiers eat who guard the detainees. So I'm just looking at the realities here and saying, could you show us a little love here? If you really say that you love us and you're one of us, you know, give us a little affection.
Right.
You know, a little something. And then the Lama, he says, there will be no gratuity today, but on your deathbed you will retain perfect consciousness. So I got that going, which is good. No, if only Barack Hussein Obama would side with Sister Clerk Kim Davis. Well, we'd finally know that he really was a child of God and washed in the blood. He didn't lift a finger to help Kim Davis. Well, you know, there's a problem there. And see, the depth and breadth of Huckabee's lack of understanding of constitutional governance, especially under the Constitution under which we operate, never ceases to amaze. What finger, or in lifting said finger, what was President Obama supposed to do to help poor little $83,000 a year, drawing her breath and her pay inside her jail cell, Sister Clerk Kim Davis? What was he supposed to do? Now, granted, if she had been convicted of a crime, he could have reached out and pardoned her. But then, of course, Matt Staver of the Liberty Grift, or whatever it is, Liberty Clavern, I forget, they would have been there to reject the pardon, for she had done nothing wrong by standing by her Christian values. Because you know that's how it would have played out, right? Is there any doubt in anybody's mind? Yeah, no, I didn't think so. What was he supposed to do? Fire Judge Bunning? Because, see, the president can't do that. No. Maybe he was supposed to have Judge Bunning shot. No. There's another thing the president can't do. Maybe he was supposed to go on the national TV box and speak to our hearts like Jim Baker wants and talk and tell all them Homer sectionals that just because the five unelected lawyers had done said they could get married didn't mean they was supposed to, and that if all our Homer sectionals who wanted to get married had any love in them whatsoever, that they should not get married because that offends Sister Clerk Kim Davis. What a yutz. Hey, there it is. Thank you, Devin. That's what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to drone Judge Bunning. That's a possibility, but, well, I guess pastor, brother, governor, reverend, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil salesman, Mike Huckabee couldn't say that on the live TV box. No. Ron and Raleigh with a note. Now wait a dad blame minute. Speaking of Jim Baker, does this jumped-up little piss ant really think that God gives a good goddamn what he's wearing? Are people this fucking stupid? Well, you know, when you get off the bus there in Branson and you've been on the road from, say, east of Boga, Alabama, for the better part of 2 days, and you were promised some potato soup in a bucket and some bucket pudding. That just sounds dirty, doesn't it? Bucket pudding. Yeah, you'll listen to anything. You know, the belly's rumbling, the blood sugar's falling, Marvelline is looking right pissed. And if you're hungry enough, you'll believe that God cares about anything as long as they'll just tell you where to go to get in line for your bucket pudding. What could President Obama have done to show some love to Sister Clerk Kim Davis? Maybe he could have stood outside with a sign, stood out. He could have gone and put on them comfortable walking shoes he used to talk about how he was going to wear when he was going to go and walk a picket line with union workers on strike. Maybe he could have put on them comfortable shoes and gone down to Moorhead and held up a sign that says Barack hates fags. Maybe right next there to the whole Westboro Baptist crowd, who are not heretics, by the way, who believe everything you have to believe to get into heaven when you die. They're Christians, not freaks. Oh, it's going to be a busy evening. I can already tell. I can feel the faith flowing through me. That, or was that the those cheap hamburgers? Maybe there's other uses for them buckets once you're done with the pudding and the potato soup. Mm-hmm. Oh, which freak next? Because, you know, there's so many of them. Oodles of them. What else? I'm just trying to prioritize here. You know what? He's so much fun. Let's check in. I have a hard time believing that Michael the Savage Wiener, not saying. I have a hard time believing that the Savage Wiener is a big-time supporter of Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. Boy, howdy, did he unload on Bernie Sanders. Might want to get the hockey puck for this one. Get it in there right snug. Here we go.
I really need Catholics who are listening to this show who are educated, analytical, and can think for themselves to understand the danger this Pope is putting us in. By coming here and watching the atheist genuflect before him, you will see one of the great charades of the century. All of the Bernie Sanders, for example. Bernie is a particular case. Jewish atheist, everything about him sets off comedic shockwaves in me, Bernie Sanders. I know the type. They were on the margins of my life. They hated America. They hated Christians. I know the type. I ran from them. They made me sick. They're the antithesis of my existence.
But do please remember, while he was running from them, he was writing love notes to them, too. It was back many, many years ago when the Savage Wiener was engaged in correspondence with his dear friend, the brilliant poet Allen Ginsberg, and wrote him a postcard from wherever he was, the Savage Wiener, sort of, you know, dodging that whole Vietnam thing. Ixnay on the aftray, odging day, amit day. But he sent him a postcard, something to the effect of, you know, here I am in tropical paradise, and I only wish I could stick my camera up your fundament and have a look around. I think it's in Stanford University's collection. Something makes it... Yeah. But yeah, look it up. It's out there. Mm-hmm. So he ran from them, except for when he was running to them, those Jewish atheists. But then again, you know, maybe Allen Ginsberg wasn't an atheist. I mean, he was a Buddhist, right? Yeah, Marty with a trenchant question here. Isn't the Savage Wiener Jewish? By the way, if Jews were upset with the U.S., it might be because of many of our elite were supposed... time code, please. Supporters of, you know, Adolf Hitler. 638, who had 638? Just got it in under the wire, man. I tell you what, if you were just a few seconds away from 639. Damn it, Gerald! Yeah, Irish Dave pointing out the Savage Wiener attacking Bernie Sanders is sort of intra-tribal warfare between Jews from Brooklyn. The Savage Wiener he never fails to delight in his stupidity. He's desperate to try to creep and crawl and slither and slide back up into the upper echelons of right-wing blathering, but I don't think it's going to happen. Let's see. He hates Bill O'Reilly. He hates Hannity. Oh, God. He hates my friends. He hates Flush Flimball. But I think he reserves an especial hatred for Glenn Beck and Alex Jones. And then there's that little epistemological kind of the one of those funny religion words thing. You know, you're either a Jew or an atheist. You can't really be both. Because, can you? I mean, it gets confusing pretty quickly. But the Savage Wiener, he is a delight in his own sick, twisted way. Not saying.
That type of Jewish atheist, the liberal weasel Jew, that's what I call Bernie Sanders. And look how popular he is with other anti-American weasels who suddenly they love him. But I said yesterday, Bernie Sanders, make no mistake about it, wouldn't be where he is was it not for the Hillary camp, who may as well be running him. And he may as well be a running dog of the Hillary Clinton camp, because by espousing the stupidity that he espouses, it makes her look like a centrist, even though she's a leftist.
Okay, can we take a moment with that, please? The crazy positions he espouses. Let's just talk about a couple of those. Man, having a country where people can get higher education without going into $1 million in debt, that's crazy, isn't it? Having a country where everybody who's sick can go to the doctor when they're sick and not die from lack of access to health care as opposed to dying from diseases, that's crazy. Having a country where we actually spend the money it takes to rebuild our crumbling and frequently floodwater overtopped infrastructure. Crazy! Yeah? Makes Hillary look like a centrist, even though she's a leftist. America's only leftist Goldwater girl, Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's just like a concentrated, just dehydrated, pressed down, shaken together, super hyper dumb fuckery in one sentence. Yeah. Liberal weasel Jew. You know who else used the phrase liberal weasel Jew? Nah, it was 6:38. You can't sneak in. Quit it. Yeah. But they are. They are just full of love, these right-wingers. And the whole Kim Davis Pope thing, just no matter how hard we try, will not go the hell away, because these right wingers won't go the hell away. Oh, there's a question. Irish Dave asking, but wasn't Barry Goldwater an atheist Jew his own self? Well, then there's that whole question of what atheist, Jewish, I don't know. So you know the whole Sister Clerk Kim Davis meets Pope Frank kind of the nothing burger kerfuffle. The Vatican has thrown her under the bus, saying, no, we didn't have a meeting. Still, the right-wing, evangelical, fundamentalist liars persist in saying that there was some sort of 15-minute meeting with the Pope, I guess, in which Sister Clerk Kim Davis tried to save him from the burning fires of hell of eternal damnation hell, because he was the whore of Babylon, Mary worshiper, idol, whatever. And pastor, brother, governor, reverend, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman, Mike Huckabee, can't let it go. He was talking to Jan Mikkelsen. This is the same Jan Mikkelsen, if I recall correctly. Maybe he's Michelson. I don't know. Who said that he wants to enslave all the undocumented immigrants in violation of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which, by the way, has apparently gotten some traction. Guess who's in favor of indentured servitude for undocumented immigrants? No, this is because there's a goddess of irony. Ben Carson, that's who. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I kid you not. That this is too serious to joke about. Couldn't make this up if I tried. Ben Carson. And remember when Jan Michelson said this in the first place, and I said, you watch, this'll get legs. Well, it has. And soft-spoken mumbler, ill-educated meat mechanic Ben Carson has said that he is in favor of, you know, making people who are here without the right papers you will work for free. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. News anchor Sabrina Ahmed, oh, that had to go over well, of station WOI, interviewed Ben Carson. They aired the interview on this past Sunday. Ben has also decided to co-opt T-Rump's wall. Well, let's just go to the audio, shall we? Do let's.
So once the border is secure, what do you do next?
And then once the border is secure, you turn off the spigot that dispenses the goodies so that people don't have a desire to come here. And that takes care, I think, the illegal flow in. And you have to do that all the borders, by the way, not just the southern border, because I'm also very concerned about global jihadists who want to come in here. They're very dangerous people. And after you turn off the spigot, you still have, you know, at least 11 million people that you have to deal with. Now, if they have a pristine record, and they would like to stay, and they're willing to engage as guest workers in the areas where we need guest workers, I have no problem with that. But they have to pay a back tax penalty, and they have to pay their taxes going forward. And
Ben Carson, I think we finally found the only people on earth Republicans want to tax. Those ones, Mexicans. And bear in mind, everybody from south of the Rio Grande River is a Mexican to a Republican. Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Peru, Argentina, Chile, Guyana, Uruguay, Paraguay, Bolivia, Ecuador. None of it's all Mexico. And they all speak Mexican. And we're going to trap them inside Merca with our wall. And it's not just going to be a double wall, it's going to be a double wall. Take that, T-Rump. And we're going to tax them. And we're going to hit them. And so how are they never mind.
They have to maintain a pristine record. They do not get voting rights. And they do not become citizens unless the citizens of the United States want them to become citizens.
So what areas wouldn't you say that is a good are good places for these?
Agricultural areas would be particularly good. You know, I've talked to many farmers with very large farms, including some here in Iowa.
Farmers who have large farms who need people to work for free in them with pristine records. They don't grow cotton in Iowa, do they? Just checking.
Who say they have a great difficulty hiring Americans to do that job, even though they started them out at $11 an hour.
Well, Ben Carson, you American, you, would you go out and work in the blazing sun on a farm in Iowa for $11 an hour? Just asking. Just say.
Just saying, just asking, just saying, just asking.
So, you know, we have to be...
Not saying, just saying.
Somewhat realistic.
Doesn't that eerily sound like indentured servitude?
It sounds like you're not forcing anybody to do anything. So I don't see how that would be indentured servitude. Nobody has to do it. They're perfectly welcome to leave.
But they wouldn't have the same rights that if they were here as an American citizen.
No, they wouldn't, because they're not here legally. So they're not American citizens. So it would seem a little bit unfair to me that you give them the same privileges as American citizens when they're here illegally.
Hey, can we take a moment, please? Back there at the beginning of this LSD-laced and badass at that little monologue, he said the first thing we're going to do after we build the double wall is we're going to turn off the spigot to the goodies. Now, I don't want to necessarily transpose my own vision onto a word like goodies. But my understanding, and the way it was used when I was a kid, because that's when you use the word, I mean, isn't it? Yeah, goodies. And no, I'm not talking about the headache powders that you know your redneck meth heads snort off the tabletop down there to Denny's. Goodies, but that's like, you know, little candies and little Debbie snack cakes and Mary Janes. No, not that kind of Mary Jane. I'm not hip enough to call dope Mary Jane. But goodies, you know, stuff that's non-essential, but just a tasty little treat kind of thing. But the goodies he's going to turn off are nothing like that. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, turn off the goodies, Ron writes. Doesn't that mean that the United States would have to have a standard of living worse than Mexico? You know, to make him pine for the days of good old... Yeah, kinda. But the problem is those goodies, we're not talking about free snack cakes. We're talking about access to health care. We're talking about a dignified retirement in old age. We're talking about goodies like the right to be secure in one's persons, papers, and effects. The goodies like the right to free speech or freedom of assembly or freedom of religion. Or, hey, the right to keep and bear arms. That's another one of those goodies. Isn't it? Marty asking. Doesn't Carson realize those very large farms were at one time called plantations? Yeah. Which, of course, in its own right, is reminiscent of the little controversy that sort of burbled up down in Texas stand recently when a mother got hold of the McGraw-Hill geography textbook. Oh, and by the way, Ben Carson says they don't pay taxes. They do. Undocumented immigrants pay something on the order of $11 billion into Social Security every year that they don't get to collect. Nice, huh? Yeah, sure they do. But don't tell Ben Carson. Because, see, he got his political education by reading, like, Rush Revere and the Revolution or some such. This guy's a moron. Not a moron. He is a straight-up idiot. He was apparently Forrest Gumpy enough to get himself through medical school and learn how to manipulate all the little machines and gadgets and stuff that go into being a brain mechanic. But of history... of grammar, language, culture, the arts, you know, all those things, social sciences, geography, geology, evolution, all those things. No, yeah, he was sick that day. He was too busy. He was too busy learning how to be a world. Wait a minute. We had reverb for this. World renowned neurosurgeon Ben Carson.
He's a dipshit.
Doesn't have sense enough to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel. Leave him out in the rain and he'll stand looking up at the sky with his mouth open and drown. That much of a twit. And this isn't name-calling. This is based on what the man says. Oh, let's see. Yeah. Oh, there's a word. Thank you. Thank you, Kilo. A reference to the word Finca. Just saying. Do they have those in Iowegistan? Fincas? Yeah. Because the aforementioned Wikipedia reference says Finca. Refers to a piece of rural or agricultural land, typically with a cottage, farmhouse, or estate buildings present, and often adjacent to a woodland plantation. Of course, I was thinking more of estancia. Isn't that what the great estates were called during the conquest when the local population was forced into slavery by the conquering Spaniards? And then, of course, Christianized to save their enslaved souls. Yeah. No, it's not indentured servitude because they're free to leave. But anyway, down in Texas, the McGraw-Hill geography textbook, a mother happened to be reading the book and found a reference therein to the fact that Africans were brought to this continent as workers. Not even indentured servants. Certainly not slaves. Oh, the sun shines bright. No. Workers. Now, there's a happy ending to that story because she raised enough of a stink that McGraw-Hill said, oh, we'll fix that. Workers. Workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains. In that case, literal chains. But no, they're free to leave. How are they going to leave through the double-walled wall? No. You just need to go on back up to your plantation in Iowegia and get back to work chopping corn. These people have gone mad. I mean, like they're bathing in mercury every day and every night. You know, just gone. Not much more left of this. Let's let Mumbling Ben have his say.
But wouldn't they be here legally if they were given the path that you're talking about where they could come and work on farms?
Well, see, you're talking a slippery slope there. Okay. You know, if you give them an inch, they want to take a mile. No, we only give them an inch. We don't give them a mile.
Another guy equating inches and miles. Never a dull moment. If you give them an inch, they want to take a mile. Do you see right there in that? That's a microcosm of Republican hate. because the entirety of Republican policy is to try to set one portion of this country, and granted a not particularly intelligent or intellectually searching portion, someone to despise. A them, a they, an other. Hey, by the way, in case you were wondering, McGraw-Hill has started out only by changing the books online, the electronic copy versions of the worker thing. It may take years to get the workers, instead of the word slaves, out of those books. After a couple of decades, poor little children in Texas won't even know that slavery ever existed in the United States. And that's the way it should be. It's time for us to move on. Give them an inch, they'll take a mile. They'll take a mile and 40 acres and a mule.
I guess where do you draw the line then?
I draw the line right there. They are welcome to be guest workers if they're willing to work in a segment where Americans don't want to work. If we had full employment for all Americans, I think that would be a different story, but we don't. And at some point, we have to consider the American people before we consider everybody else. We'd like to take care of everybody else. It would be wonderful if we could. But it's sort of like being in a lifeboat that has a capacity of 50 people. And you look out there, there's 10 more. Oh, God, what are you going to do? Well, we'll just take them on, and then everybody sinks and dies. You know? You just have to, at some point, be pragmatic.
You know, at some point, you got to be pragmatic. At some point, you've got to have a solution. At some point, you've got to have a, you got to put your foot down. Because if you give an inch, they'll take a mile. So at some point, you've got to have a final solution. By the way, just in case you were wondering about Ben Carson, talk about kiss up, kick down. This is a guy who got into college on affirmative action, which I support, by the way, and was raised on by a welfare mother on food stamps. You know, one of those women that Ronald Reagan so desperately despised. So that's pretty much the end of the Prayer Meeting Wednesday lesson. That's not to say we don't have more Prayer Meeting Wednesday stuff. We'll get to it. We will. And, well, I wouldn't put the hockey puck away. Well, Irish Dave asks a good question. Is affirmative action a goodie? I'd say it probably is. A right tasty goodie. Oh, yeah. So, in most churches, you don't get to talk back from the congregation. At Prayer Meeting Wednesday, you know, it's Bible study, you know. You do. And if you'd like to talk back, we got a couple of numbers you can dial. One of them is 304-574-8178. The other is 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Either one works real fine.
So too does Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn is that contact number. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa says, how does this ass in a hat, Ben Carson, plan to verify the impeccable record of an undocumented immigrant? Paradox much, Ben? Well, we're going to start with a presumption of unpristineness, and it will be upon it will be a burden of proof upon the hopeful indentured servant to prove their pristinity. We'll probably do some looking the other way because we're going to need a lot of those indentured servants, right? Yeah. And by the way, I'm very happy to announce that there has in fact been a response to Joan's challenge. Remember, Joan put forward $75.79. Plus any other odd change that she is willing to match. And I'm happy to announce that that number has been reduced by Brother Deacon Asa and by our very own Carol Baker to, let me see here, 52 will come down. 52. We've been knocked down to $33.52. $33.52 to go to match Joan's challenge this evening. Thank you very much, Carol, and thank you very much, Brother Deacon Asa. I think I got the 52 cents right. Yeah. Marty pointing out, it's the evacuation of the Titanic again. No, this is in regard to Ben Carson. Half the people are going to die tonight. Not the better half! Exactly. It's kind of a whole Titanic theory of governance, isn't it? Unfortunately, yes. So we'll keep the plate passing through the congregation and take a little break. This seems appropriate. This is Conversation Radio, Prayer Meeting Wednesday variety. This is the horn.
From the Hadestown opera, it's a song sung by Hades, king of the underworld, and the name of the song is Why We Build the Wall.
Aeneas Mitchell.
My children, why do we build the wall? Why do we build the wall? We build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build a wall to keep us free. How does the wall keep us free? My children, how does the wall keep us free? How does the wall keep us free? The wall keeps out the enemy. And we build a wall to keep us free. That's why we build a wall. We build a wall to keep us free. Who do we call the enemy? My children, who do we call the enemy? Who do we call the enemy? The enemy is poverty, and the wall keeps out the enemy. And we build a wall to keep us free. That's why we build a wall. We build a wall to keep us free. Because we have and they have not, my children, 'cause they want what we have got. Because we have and they have not, 'cause they want what we have got. The enemy is poverty, and the wall keeps all the enemy. And we build a wall to keep us free. That's why we build a wall. We build a wall to keep us free. What do we have that they should want? My children, what do we have that they should want? What do we have that they should want? We have a wall to work upon. We have work and they have none. And our work is never done. My children, and the war is never won. The enemy is poverty, and the wall keeps out the enemy. And we build a wall to keep us free. That's why we build a wall. We build a wall to keep us free. We build a wall to keep us free.
Yeah. Anais Mitchell should be a millionaire by the time that this election cycle is over with. That should that song should wow. And the whole opera Hadestown is really cool. Devin screaming encore, encore. You got a Bic there, Devin? You can like hold it up, like dude, yeah. It's a brilliant song, and man, the lyrics are right there. Hey, look, let's go over to Skype. It's none other than Tom from FYINation.com. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm surprised and tickled to hear from you.
First, I want to say thank you for being on the network. You're a great addition with Mike Malloy, and I really appreciate you letting me have you on. And the other thing is, the goodies that Dr. Ben Carson was mentioning,
yes.
Does that mean that he's going to jail the illegal employers? Because
oh, no, sorry, no. It's like what Marty said a minute ago about the Titanic. Half the people are going to die tonight, not the better half.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, sad, but true. But yeah, no, this argument for with them always drives me nuts. But what they're forgetting is in this wall that they want to build, they're forgetting the moat and the sharks with laser beams.
Sharks with frickin' laser beams. Yeah, I don't want any badass bass either.
Exactly. And because, you know, or in Stephen Colbert's case, he told Trump that he wanted the moat with the dolphins and fire, but that would probably kill the dolphins, so we're not going there. But either way, something to stop them from getting over the double wall, because
maybe that's the whole point, Tom. Maybe they're supposed to get trapped in that sort of no man's land between the two walls.
Yeah, well, and notice the overcompensation always with them. It's whether it's the gun issue, whether it's the wall, multiple walls, because, you know, and the really hugeness of it.
Can we have can the wall have wings?
Well, the guy did just recently rob something with a Tampax over his eyes, so maybe. are you talking about those wings?
I was just thinking, you know, wings, rotors. The dual chrome plated mud flaps, just all that stuff that rednecks dig so much.
Well, maybe they'd guard it too, because they like their guns. They can keep them if they guard the wall.
Yeah, but Tom, they only like guns. Most of them when they can be pretty sure that they've got the drop on everybody.
Yeah, no.
But then again, maybe if you're up on the parapet, well, are we going to have parapets, Tom? Parapets? Do we get parapets?
Well, perhaps.
Arrow slits?
And since it's, you know, we're doing all this praising of the Lord, we could have some angels with, you know, the trumpets to sound.
No, that's sissy stuff. If we're going to have angels, they better have goddamn flaming swords.
Yeah, that's true. Or well, flaming. Then we get into LGBT territory, and they don't like that. So, yeah, see,
right?
There's
oh, it's just rife with trouble, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thank you again for being on the network and letting me on the air.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, and I enjoyed our conversation. Two Sundays past, enjoyed it immensely. And you guys are coming. You're coming up on what, show number 300 or something?
Yes. Some say at 4 o'clock on FYI Nation we'll actually be celebrating our 300th show. And we're gonna have.
So that goes back how far?
About a year. I've been doing it between 3 to 2 hours for 5 days a week. With Nikki and a couple other co-hosts, but Nikki was my original co-host, and it's just been a hell of a lot of fun, and the network has been awesome, and great people like you, and the Horn, and, you know, we're providing a community just like you, and I a match made in heaven.
Well, I'm seeing some crossover. Yeah. I'm getting some tweets from some FYI listeners. It's really cool.
Yeah, and
y'all are very Twitter intensive, aren't you?
Yes, well, you know, that's the social media, you know. Gotta stop those lamestream media folks from, you know, harping. So that's how we do it over at FYI Live, you know, hashtag FYI Live. It's fun, you know.
Well, it is. And, it is. I got to take questions from listeners the other evening, and it was a real blast.
Yeah, and thank you for doing it too, because I know we tried to do it a while ago, but it just. Scheduling and all that, but now that we had you on, it was great, and people, it's in your group that you have, and I'll repost it on the Some Say Facebook page for people to take a look at, and it's also in our FYINation.com website for the date.
Well, you're coming up on a 1 year anniversary, and here in, let's see, I got to do some quick gazettas. Here in 17 days, we here at the Horn will reach our 10th anniversary.
I hope to be doing it for 10 years. I hope to. Or I you know.
If you lay in the tequila and get a whole box of swirly straws.
Yes.
You're going to need them. I mean, I can't imagine what we're going to be talking about 9 years from now. Who am I kidding? It's probably going to be the same shit.
Maybe we will be talking about the Ted Cruz presidency.
Oh, stop it.
Because what did that
You're
be
trying
like?
To make me not get to 10 years.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Hopefully we'll be talking about the great first term of Senator Sanders. President Sanders, rather. Because, you know, Hillary and her TPP. Oy.
No, wait. 9 years from now, we'll be talking about wrapping up the incredibly effective two terms of President Sanders.
See, math is hard. That's what you learn on Some Say, that I can't do math and words are hard.
Wait. No. I've got the can't do math thing nailed down. You're going to find your own shtick.
Oh, see, now you're killing me. Can we share?
Yeah, maybe you can do square roots.
Okay, that works. Actually, no, I can't.
Because I can't. I can't do them worth beans.
Yeah, no, I see it. But hopefully you'll be with us as well on Friday, and everybody get to hear you early. But I understand if you can, because you got 3 hours to do after us. So, you know, shit happens.
Well, it does. But if you will, again, remind me closer to it, and I'll try to make sure I'm there.
No, definitely. And Bob,
I want a cupcake, damn it.
I'll give you an austerity cookie baked by Hillary Clinton.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. Yeah, so what? Leavened with the salty tears of the 99%.
No, that would be Carly Fiorina's Planned Parenthood tape that doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
From her employees.
Indeed.
Sorry, that's an inside joke that I probably shouldn't have said, but it's all good. but thank you again, Bob, and it's been great having you on the network.
Oh, I'm tickled pink that we're there. I'm glad to have the opportunity to expand the community here because that's, you know, that's the goal behind all of this. It really is. It's community. We set out to try to do something different. This idea of conversation radio, and you know, not having to break away and say, you know, that's enough about you. Let's talk about me or any of that right wing drivel. And by some metrics, I think it's been successful. Now, if you want to measure it by the metric of, say, millions of listeners, no. But we got a lot. It's a pretty, pretty decent community when you get right down to it. And we have a lot of fun.
You have loyal listeners that I've noticed in the chat when I can get over there. And we have a loyal bunch of Twitter followers on hashtag FYLive. And that's what I like more than the money. Than I like the
money. He said money.
I mean, it would be nice, right, if people donated to the Horn or donated to FY Nation. But we know we don't have that. So we have the community and we have love, and it's not filled with hate and rage and, you know.
Okay, so there's some rage.
Oh, well, yeah, fair enough. But we don't have potato soup and milk.
Bucket pudding.
Yes, you know, or bundt cake, as Blake likes to call it. I will say, though, I did watch that a few weeks back, and the macaroni and cheese, as a macaroni and cheese aficionado, that looked pretty good. But I wouldn't pay $1,100 for it.
Well, but remember, that's apocalypse. You're paying for the extra blessing of surviving the apocarev. So that's where the extra comes in for the macaroni and cheese. It's, damn it, Tom, it is not a whole bunch of boxes of Piggly Wiggly brand macaroni and cheese thrown in a bucket. It is not. Now, and quit saying that.
I know, right? That's what I eat, and I get chided on it all the time, and on some say, because I am a lousy eater. So I probably would like Jim Baker soup.
I'm waiting for the $2,000 bucket of Jim Baker ramen.
Oof, that's a,
because you know that'll cost about that'll probably cost about maybe $0.15 to produce.
Right.
We're in the wrong racket. We just are.
Praise be, Brother Bob. Praise be. I'm going to let you go so other callers can call in, but thank you for giving me the time.
Oh, my pleasure, Tom. Call anytime. It was a joy to hear from you. And hey to Nikki.
All right. Definitely. Thank
and
you.
The whole FYI crowd. Later.
Awesome. Bye-bye.
Bye. From over at FYINation.com, that was our buddy Tom from Some Say Live. See how easy conversation radio is? You can be part of it. Your phone, your tablet device with a microphone on it. The whole universe of conversation has changed in the last few years, and we've seen it change. I mean, when we started, it was all POTS lines and that kind of stuff. Now it is, well, there's myriad ways of engaging in verbal, vocal, electronic communication. Of course, among verbal, vocal, electronic communicators, there aren't many better than the one and only Carol Baker out there in Hooterville, not too far from the what was the name of that magnificent trailer park and country club, Carol?
Why, it's the Ballerina Swan Lake Mobile Home Country Club Trailer Park.
Yes. Yes, and you can almost see it from there in Hooterville, can't you?
I can. I drive by it every day, and I just laugh and laugh.
Big old sign.
Big old sign, and there's a fence around it.
But it ain't no double fence, is it?
Well, not yet.
Yeah, see? Yeah. How in the world are you?
I am doing just fine.
Seems like we haven't talked in Pert and I forever.
We haven't talked in, I think, probably about 3 weeks.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, I was gone for a week, but don't let it happen again.
Well, I'm not the one who got in the car and went on a road trip.
Well, oh, yeah, rub it in.
Yes, my world is very small. Well, that's why I like the interweb tubes. It gets bigger.
It really does. I mean, we got listeners all over the planet. I can, and we can enjoy vicariously, say, for instance, Robert's complaints in Australia about 37 degrees Celsius days. And I don't want to think, I'll bet that's not a dry heat either. Not in New South Wales.
I'll bet it's not. But listen, you had this lovely conversation with Tom just a minute ago about mac and cheese.
Yes.
Did you see the mac and cheese story of the day?
Oh God, white privilege writ large.
Bay. Brought to you directly from the University of Connecticut.
Oh my God. So that would be Husky mac and cheese.
All he wanted was some fucking mac and cheese. Bacon jalapeno mac and cheese.
They don't have that in Connecticut?
Yeah, they do at that particular restaurant. But he walked in drunk and obnoxious and they weren't having it. They just told him to leave. And he decided that he was going to... He assaulted the manager repeatedly. And finally, one of the kitchen staff had had enough of watching him just sucker shove the manager, who was trying very hard to be calm. But he just kept demanding his fucking jalapeno bacon mac and cheese. And a kitchen worker had had enough and took him down, took him straight down, straddled him and held him on the floor. Until the campus police showed up, and he was arrested. And the university won't comment on student records, but Death and Taxes cited a number of student tweets that Mac and Cheese Kid is what they're calling him. Mac and Cheese Kid was expelled from UConn today.
Aww. Yes. I mean, isn't that a little harsh for Precious Lumpkin there?
Well, his story is his little white privilege problems didn't start last night. He previously left the University of Massachusetts Amherst after two 2014 arrests, one for disorderly conduct, where he reportedly called a police officer the effing N-word.
Nice.
And one for assaulting an officer, allegedly injuring his arm. He's charged with trespassing and breaching the peace on the mac and cheese incident.
How has this kid not been gunned down in the street?
Seriously, you should go
to
wait,
Zaga. White.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He was taken out very, very quietly. And he was the one who was... you know, causing all the shit, but they have a new, his legacy lives on in the form of the new jalapeno bacon Mac Gotti at the campus establishment called DP Dough. It's like a pita bread stuffed with fucking bacon mac and cheese jalapeno.
Does it say that on the menu? Please tell me it does.
I think it does. I think they added it to the menu today.
Beautiful. And I mean, I understand being passionate about mac and cheese. I really, really do.
Oh, I'm a big fan of mac and cheese, especially with bacon. I don't do the jalapenos just because they don't like me.
I like the baked macaroni and cheese. You know, that's what
I make.
Yeah, and sometimes people will fold a little ricotta into it, too, along with the cheddar.
I make a bechamel sauce. And then add the cooked macaroni to it, and then four different kinds of cheeses, and then put it in a metal, one of the old-fashioned metal frying pan, not a cast iron, but like an enamel.
Yeah.
Spray it with a nonstick spray, put the mac and cheese in there, and stick it in the oven until it's brown on top.
Yes. Yes.
So, the New York Daily News is reporting that although Gaddy appears to have left campus with all of his belongings, he's officially still enrolled at UConn. He may also have to go through the university disciplinary proceedings, but the school won't legally comment on it. And Gawker was nice enough to provide a recipe, and it's called fucking bacon jalapeno mac and cheese.
Good for them.
Yeah, so it's all on there, but this is a 9-minute.
We don't visit the sins of the children upon the parents, nor the sins of the parents upon the children. That's just
no.
You know, that's, But can you? Is it okay to ask in a circumstance like this? And granted, mercifully, nobody got dead. So it that you know we got that going for us, which is good. In Merca, anytime there's an altercation and nobody gets dead, it's plus one. But
listen, just to know that this tape went on for 9 minutes, and that police couldn't be bothered to show up. You know that kid was white. The fact that he wasn't beaten within an inch of his life, you know that kid was white.
Bingo.
He kept using homophobic slurs, kept calling the guy a fucking retard and a fucking faggot, and it just went on and
so did
on.
I didn't bother to queue up the video on this. I mean, so does he just barrel in the door like that, or does he feel like he's had to wait too long?
The tape starts with the manager asking him very politely to leave. And he is just, give me my fucking food, give me my fucking jalapeno bacon mac and cheese, and I'll go. Now, keep in mind, he's dead drunk. And when asked how old he is, he's 19. And this is his second university and his third arrest for this behavior. And his face is still intact, and he's alive to tell the tale.
And so it begs a couple of questions. Like I said, we don't want to, you know, collective punishment or anything. But when you're 19 and you're already that awful,
yeah.
What kind of? I mean, you know, down south we talk about, was he raised right?
Was he raised by wolves?
I'm kind of at a loss. I mean.
This has affluenza written all over it.
Well, I mean, the fact that in 2015 this kid's in college, I mean, because I don't, you know, I think if you're up to your nostrils in student debt on your second universiti.
Debt. He said that kid was in debt.
Then I don't think you march around demanding your bacon, mac, and cheese, no matter how good it is. And you know what? It's probably good for business over there. The bacon, mac, and cheese is probably flying right out the damn door.
Well, he wandered in with a beer and was told that he couldn't have it in there. And he didn't have it by the time the tape starts, but he kept going, he's a total libertarian. Is there any reason why I don't have the freedom to have a fucking beer in here? And all the students at the same time go, no, or why can't I, or shouldn't I be able to have a fucking beer in here? And all the students went, no.
Well, see, that's they're collectivists.
Anybody
want to take a bet on whether or not this kid has, I know, expecting that he's read a book is probably a bit much. But if he's read a book, anybody want to bet that he's probably read Atlas Shrugged or The Fountainhead or something?
You know he has.
Oh, and here's a trenchant observation for you, Carol.
Yes.
Coming courtesy of the angry Indian who, well, you know, he works in trenchant.
Yes.
If you want to see what W was like in college, consider that student's actions.
Ermagerd. That's probably...
Wait a minute. Yeah, time out. Oh, wait. Not just a cowbell for that. Wait a minute. Got to get this right. Yeah, there.
That's Blue Oyster Cult cowbell.
That is Blue Oyster Cult cowbell for the angry Indian on that. Absolutely. Because that is exactly what we're talking about.
Oh, my God.
So anywhere in the 9 minutes is there a don't you know who I am?
No, he didn't do that. He was too drunk for that, I think.
Haley says, I watched the video of Mac and Cheese Drunk Boy last night. What a privileged asshole. What did you say this kid's last name was?
Hang on. It was... I gotta pull it back up. Mac and Cheese. Oh, hang on. No, not that link. That'll start the video. I don't want that one. I went to Gawker. His last name is Gotti, G-A-T-T-I, not G-O-T-T-I.
Like, oh, okay, okay, because you said it earlier, and I was thinking,
Or I should have said the way that we say it in Chicago, Gaddy.
Gaddy, yeah, yeah, you Gaddy there. We're on a mission from Gad.
Angry asks, what if that bastard was armed? And why isn't this a legitimate observation kind of question? Yeah. Because, can you imagine deciding to protect freedom because you couldn't get your bacon, mac, and cheese? Jalapeno, bacon, jalapeno, mac, and cheese?
I'm telling you, if that kid had had a gun, he'd have shot that manager. He was like, losing it. And at least a half a dozen students tried to step in to get him to stop. And the manager, a couple of employees came up and tried to get him to stop, and the manager kept waving off the employees, don't get involved in this. And finally, the one guy from the kitchen had had enough. And when he shoved that manager that last time, he got a fry cook bitch slap and takedown.
Don't mess with brain surgeons or fry cooks.
Don't yet.
Because they will gazinta your ass.
And the manager was trying to get him to stop, and he was like, no, this is over. He'd had enough. He'd listened to this for 15 minutes. And he'd had enough, and he didn't care what his boss said. He didn't care if he was getting fired. That guy's ass was done.
Has he been fired?
Nope.
Good. Nope. Jesus. Oh, speaking of mac and cheese.
Yes.
One. Because the world needed it, I recently discovered that there's a chain of, and I'm sure they're corporate as hell and just nasty and vile, but you know, because that's the default position I take. They're probably, I don't know, maybe their mothers love them. Who knows? But there's a chain, around. I think it started in Pennsylvania and it's over into Ohio and down to West Virginia, maybe in Virginia now. In fact, I know it's in Virginia, but it's called Sheetz. Sheetz, and they're doing the whole sandwich, you know, fresh made kind of, you know, burgers, fries, dogs, and they've got a coffee bar now and all of that. But they have deep fried mac and cheese nuggets.
At the Missouri State Fair, you can get deep fried mac and cheese on a stick.
What hath God wrought?
Because America.
Greatest country in the world on earth now today forever. But so
well,
honey,
when you get mac and cheese on a stick, that's the fact.
Hey, no kidding. Well, I mean, I pull in, I press the little button, and the little thing paper comes out, and I go and I pay the clerk they hand me fried mac and cheese.
Uh huh.
And you can get it. Ooh, don't tell young master Gaddy. You can get it with jalapeno ranch to dip it in.
Ooh.
Yeah, see? Or ho-ho sauce or yum-yum sauce or something like that. And don't go into the Fayetteville, West Virginia Sheetz at about 1 a.m. on a Friday night, Saturday morning. The line's out the damn door.
Well, and because I'm a giver, I just sent you the recipe for drunk UConn kids fucking jalapeno mac and cheese.
Oh, hot diggity damn. I gotta put in another unpaid endorsement here, though. The best mac and cheese I have ever had in my life.
Yes?
Is at the Avenue Bar in Madison, Wisconsin.
Really?
Yes. They were even kind enough to share the recipe with me. Granted, it's an institutional-sized recipe, and there was a whole bunch of gazettas and ciphering to be done to get it down to just family size, but it is awe-inspiring. There's beer involved and about six different kind of cheeses, and it's baked, and there's panko breadcrumbs, and oh my God.
Yes. And the best mac and cheese I've ever had was at Wolfgang Puck's restaurant in the Bahamas at the Atlantis Resort.
Name dropper.
Sorry, it was so good. It was so good. I actually unashamedly asked for a to-go order so that at 3 o'clock in the morning when I was done gambling down at the casino, I could go back upstairs for sustenance.
No kidding. By the way, building on Angry's observation on Shrub, Roger writes in from Oregon, Carolyn, says, anyone who ever had the misfortune of drawing his protection detail while his daddy was vice president can tell you that W still hadn't outgrown being that way long after college.
Oh, I'm quite sure of that.
Yeah, sure. Well, he's still a punk. By the way, Jeremy in Vermont says, my local fair offered deep-fried butter on a stick this year.
Oh, God.
I hope that's a joke.
Just kill me now.
has anybody invited Dick Cheney to that particular fair?
No, but...
they should.
I don't know. Darth would be too welcomed here.
Oh, I don't care. I mean, they can give him a laurel and hardy handshake for all I care. I just want him. I want him to have an order of deep fried butter on a stick in both hands.
I want to just inject it directly into his left ventricle.
Because that 3 year old heart needs some work.
I just feel bad for the person it came out of and the person who should have gotten it.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know. I get mad every time I think about it. It's not somebody else's heart. It's my heart. Yeah.
That's true. Also, did you hear the story about the 11-year-old boy who shot the neighbor girl because she wouldn't let him see his puppy?
Sadly, yes. And again, that's one of those moments where you kind of look to the parents.
Well, interestingly, the parents aren't being even looked at. They're charging an 11-year-old boy with murder, possibly planning on charging him as an adult. And, you know, Cletus and Marmalade left a loaded firearm where this boy could get it. And they're not liable? And yet an 11-year-old boy, I mean... what kind of talk took place in that trailer park? And yes, it was a trailer park. I'm not just being an asshole about it.
I don't understand. I mean, we're talking about an 11-year-old, right?
Captain. You know, Daddy was the civil defense captain.
No. Is that a joke?
Yes, a bad one, but still. But I don't know how you can take an 11-year-old boy without a fully formed brain who heard this homosexual talk at home where there was a loaded firearm left and not charge the parents.
I don't either, but then again, that's a whole bunch of America. I mean,
there was the other story where the little boy shot his sister.
Yeah, and in Kentucky.
Yeah, and the mother said it was God's will.
That's exactly what. That was exactly the same thing I was going to bring up.
What the ever living fuck? A 5 year old boy shot her 2 year old daughter. And she's got the stuff happens attitude?
I mean, if it's good enough for Jeb, yeah.
All I could think of were the Smothers Brothers. Mama always did like him better.
Yeah, but again, nothing ever happened to those parents either.
No.
Because freedom.
And people wonder why I had all my guns shredded. I didn't sell them. I had them destroyed. Because I couldn't live with the idea, Bob, that somebody would ever use one of them to hurt somebody else. And in this country, it was almost a foregone conclusion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the states that seize guns have to put them back into the stream of commerce in many instances.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I wanted to tell you, I got kicked off of a local radio station.
Really? Did you say booger again?
No, I didn't say anything much. I mean, I didn't swear. They were having this lovely conversation today about how 6,000 federal inmates were going to be loosed upon society.
Oh, God, yeah, I saw that story, and I thought, here comes the outrage.
2,000 of them are illegals, and they're going straight out of the country. 2,000 of them's going to be going to halfway houses. And then there's 2,000 of them just going to get to walk right on out the door.
And into your neighborhood.
And into your neighborhoods. And the host of the show is sitting there going, I don't understand. He goes, well, you know, one of those federal facilities is Leavenworth, Kansas, which is where he's from. And it's not that far from here. And he's like, there might be 400 felons turned loose on Leavenworth, Kansas. He goes, now, if they was just going to turn one or two loose a month, he goes, that'd be one thing. And I called in and I was like, do you understand math? at the rate that you're talking, it'll take more than 15 years to release those guys that are technically, legally supposed to be released in a couple weeks. 15 years. That's your solution. And I said, it costs $50,000 a year for us to feed, house, and guard those non-violent drug offenders. And we're talking about,
because that's what they are. We're not turning loose any desperate father rapers and mother stabbers.
And he's like, well, it's not like they're going to be able to go out and get jobs. And I said, you're right, they're not going to get jobs. He goes, so they're going to be on the dole. And I said, do you want to give them $12,000 a year to be on the dole? Or do you want to pay $50,000 a year to keep them in prison? I said, you get math, right?
Jethro,
I'm sorry. You were told there would be no math. And that's when he hung up on me.
Click. It's guy's name's not Steve O'Brien, is it?
No, it's Scott Parks, and he's a moron. This is supposed to be a very centrist show. And for Hooterville, it is. But I sit and listen to them.
They only goose-step with their right feet? Is that it?
Yeah, well, they're goose-shitting on everybody who isn't rich and white. And oh, yeah, this is the guy who wants Stop and Frisk instituted in Kansas City because it was such a resounding success in New York City.
Oh, speaking of resounding successes, Carol?
Yes.
Guess what wasn't?
Stop and Frisk in New York City?
Well, there's that. But down in Tennessee, Stan, they decided that they were going to drug test all of the welfare people. All them useless poors eating useless food.
Yeah, they talk about that here, too.
So they put it in place in the summer of 2014.
Yep.
And they asked three questions. On the application form for, you know, being able to be a useless eater.
Yeah.
And if you answered yes to any of the three drug questions, you had to go pee in a cup for them or have their application immediately chucked in the garbage. No shit. And then if you failed the drug test, you had to complete drug treatment, and then you had to pass a second test or else your benefits would be cut off for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
They tested 28,559 people who applied for TANF, you know, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families.
Mm-hmm. At $30 a pop.
Of the 28,559 people who answered one of those three questions with yes, 1.6% of the people tested positive.
Ah, money well spent.
Out of 468 people who peed in a cup,
11.7% flunked it. That's 55 people out of nearly 30,000. Hoo-wee! They're cracking down on drug crime in Tennessee. Of course, they didn't ask them any questions about did you drink any illegal liquor last night, or no, or are you on acid? Because, see, that shit, well, you know, the acid, what it, let's see, 3 days for coke and pills, acid never shows up. And so basically what they were doing is cracking down on dope smokers.
Yeah, of course. The marijuana's because of that reefer madness.
Yeah, and the testing
and
cost.
And a gateway drug and all.
The testing was $200 per failed drug test.
They're doing that here in Missouri too, and they charge every single person who gets any benefits, and that now includes unemployment, from what I understand. And you have to pay up front. You have to pay up front $30 for the drug test that the state has to reimburse you for if you pass it. The state of Missouri ended up having to pay $1.8 million to the company that facilitates the refunds.
But wait, here's the fun part, Carol. You only get tested based on your answers to those questions. And if you answer even one of them with yes, you get tested. So, right, so if you walk in there smelling like a Colombian sauna, with vapor trails coming out of your nose, and have you used in the last 30 days? Have you used illegal drugs? No, that primer's not. I never had. What? Yeah, and you know you're chomping on the air gum, and you click and you check no. They don't test you because they can't, because it's unconstitutional to test everybody without some degree of suspicion. And
they don't have any problems here.
Yeah, and as whipped cream, well, no, you can't test everybody. The other states all use the check off the box form too.
Huh.
But here's the best part. Across the United States, more than $1 million has been spent on drug testing people who want to eat food, who are poor.
Ugh. Damn food eaters.
And the numbers aren't much different in any of the other states, so that the national average for drug use for all Americans, and I find this to be a little bit low myself, is 9.4%. But in each of the states that drug test welfare applicants, the number, that percentage is way lower. So actually, you know, because they're poor, I mean, I don't know what these goddamn Republicans think, Carol, that there are people just out there giving away free doobie.
I guess.
Free doobie doobie doo. No.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff costs money.
Yeah.
And if you're poor, you don't have dope money. Because no matter how much you may love to get high, you are a human, you're a human soft machine. And you have to feed, you have to fuel the machine.
Yep.
I mean, even meth heads eat a little bit, don't they?
Not much.
But some. So, I mean, it's so stupid as to be almost laughable were it not so grave.
And yet other states are adopting it.
Sure. But if you really want to catch some drug users, drug test the state legislatures.
No shit.
Or maybe drug test the Senate candidate in Florida. No kidding. I got a note from Jay Cruzan about this a little bit ago, Carol. Drug test that Senate candidate from Florida who recently admitted that he sacrificed a goat and drank its blood. For religious reasons. Now, the guy used to be somebody else, but he changed his name. And his name is now Saul Invictus. Merca.
Oh, God.
Yeah, isn't it beautiful?
I swear, all the sane people must, like, listen to this program. And I constantly get the feeling like we're getting squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. And anybody outside of our circle is technically insane.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you got to have the swirly straw in the tequila bottle just to get through this first paragraph from the Orlando Sentinel. Dateline, Tallahassee, Florida, courtesy of the Associated Press. 2 years ago, and I don't know, maybe you do this with the Charles Kuralt voice, right?
Oh.
2 years ago, Augustus Saul Invictus walked from Central Florida to the Mojave Desert and spent a week fasting and praying, at times thinking he wouldn't survive. In a pagan ritual to give thanks when he returned home, he killed a goat and drank its blood. Now that he's a candidate for U.S. Senate, the story is coming back to bite him. Bite him, get it? Not haunt him, bite him. I mean, come on, it's October. You can use haunt, for God's sakes. Now, wait. Wait for it, because just in case you were thinking this was some squishy liberal Democrat, you know, no. The third paragraph, just, you cackle. The chairman of the Libertarian Party of Florida has resigned to call attention to Invictus's candidacy in hopes that other party leaders will denounce him. Adrian Willie, no, really, Willie, who was the Libertarian candidate for governor last year, says Invictus wants to lead a civil war, is trying to recruit neo-Nazis to the party, and brutally and sadistically dismembered a goat. It's Florida. I'm just glad he didn't fuck it. Dead or alive. Let's see. Brother Willie is all upset. He is the absolute exact opposite of a libertarian. He is a self-proclaimed fascist. He is promoting a second civil war. It's absolute insanity. We must explain to people this is the opposite of libertarians. This guy has no place in the Libertarian Party. But wait a minute. By saying somebody has no place in the Libertarian Party, aren't you kind of behaving unlibertarianly?
Exactly.
I mean, liberty. Sit, liberty. Sit. And by the way, I got his name wrong. It's Augustus Saul Invictus. He's 32 years old. He's a lawyer. Of course he is. And he changed his given name, and he won't reveal his given name. And he says that Augustus Saul Invictus, at least to him, means majestic unconquered son. No, he says he's not a white supremacist, pointing out that his four children are Hispanic. Though he does acknowledge that some white supremacists support his campaign, Carol. Some people say.
That's so Fox.
Yes, it absolutely is, and all I can say is stay in the campaign, Augustus Saul Invictus.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, Alan Grayson's running.
Yes.
And he, either yesterday today or today, he filed an ethics complaint against Kevin McCarthy and Trey Gowdy over Benghazi!
I know.
Wasn't that charming?
Very charming.
I noticed that Tony posted that on my Facebook page, and all I could think was, you know, that would be awesome if it would be judged by anybody except other Republicans. Let's see, Robert in Australia says, to experience insanity, go to YouTube and do a search for 100% undebunkable, undeniable, proven true. Terms such as flat earth also work, and sadly much of it comes from America where these people are searching for the truth.
Truth.
That's all caps, T-H-E-T-R-U-F-F, which is apparently probably how they spell it on the 12 mistakes per 100 words. Donald Trump Facebook page.
With no teeth.
Poof. It's a beautiful thing. Don't we live in a magnificent country?
We do live in a magnificent country. I listened to Lindsey Graham try to sit there, and he's got a terrible case of shamnesia right now.
Oh, doesn't he?
Oh, my gosh. You know, he nicks the aid for Sandy, but begs for it for his state. And I noticed something. Conservatives are conservative right up to the moment that it pays to be a liberal.
Oh, wait a minute. Well done. Well played.
But it's true.
It is true. And you know, there's got to be a remedy for something like this. And by that I mean, okay, I want, as I noted talking to our dear friend Eric last night, I want South Carolina to have everything it needs to recover.
I do too. I do too. Because it's the right thing to do. But you know, Bob, after the Joplin tornado, Vaughn and I took a week, and we went to Joplin, and he flatbedded his big tractor so that he could go down and help clean up. And I mean, that man worked 20 hours a day for 7 days. I worked with the Red Cross and was just trying to get people to, I mean, these people were walking around like a bomb had gone off. I mean, they were just, they had this kind of dead stare that people get when they're just so destroyed. And it was such an amazing experience for me because it gave me a better understanding of what these catastrophic events really kind of do to people, and certainly a lot more empathy. But I noticed that it wasn't that long after the Joplin tornado that hurricane hit the East Coast, and that douchebag that lost his Senate seat, who was number two. What was his name? The Jewish guy? Eric
Cantor. House seat. Yeah, Eric Cantor.
Yeah, house seat.
Yeah, and now that he's out of power, by the way, he doesn't mind saying that they're all nuts.
Yeah, and Eric Cantor cut off the aid for Joplin and moved it to the East Coast. So any federal aid that was going into Joplin just ceased overnight. And these people were left to their own devices. And school, you know, this happened, you know, it wiped out every school in town. It literally wiped out. That tornado cut a 3/4 mile wide path through the
center. Oh, yeah. It was real.
Destroying 75% of it. And there were no schools. And they had to figure out a way to start school. And the city of Joplin found an abandoned Walmart, because there's one everywhere.
Oh, yes, there is.
And turned it into a big school. Now, they didn't have books. They didn't have anything. And it took, and I'm not sure, there was a sheik from a Middle Eastern country that swooped in and provided MacBook Pros for every single student in school so that they could do online learning.
Because America can't do that for its own.
Because we can't do that for our own. But I saw how these people just, it went from, oh, we'll do anything that it takes to help you until the next disaster comes along. And then it was, no, we don't, you know, we're out of FEMA money. So we're going to have to just pull out a Joplin. And it was awful. It's not that the hurricane, I think it was Irene, that hit the East Coast wasn't bad and didn't cause damage, but it was nothing like what happened to the people in Joplin. And they got screwed.
And see, that's what I mean. I want South Carolina to get what it needs.
I do too.
When God sends a tornado to torment Tornado Alley, I want the people to get what they need because I'm an American and I believe in promoting the general welfare. But at some point in time, I don't know how we could do this. I wish we had maybe a member of the Senate with enough guts to stand up at the rostrum and say, I'm voting for this aid for South Carolina, but I want an apology from Senator Graham and Senator, who's the other guy? I want an apology from them
for voting against it for Missouri and Alabama and New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute I have the apology, I will cast my vote.
Well, Tom Coburn is a perfect example. When all those horrible tornadoes swept through that town in Oklahoma, you know, he was right there with his hand out after he kept saying, well, you know, we can't help this disaster and this disaster and this disaster because unless we have offsets. And there was no mention of offsets when it was time to help Oklahoma. And I was fine with that, but it just pissed me off. And he was asked about that. They were like, well, why aren't you talking offsets for the... And he goes, well, this is different. Well, it's always different when it's your constituents. And Oklahoma is one of those states that takes more from the federal government than they
ever do. Sure, Oklahoma, Alabama, most of the... It couldn't exist without federal money.
From the blue states.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's to a certain extent...
I never hear liberals saying, fuck them.
I'm certainly... I understand the impulse, but I can't say that.
I can't say it either.
If I want to still be an American.
Well, I've seen firsthand what that kind of devastation looks like.
Because see, that's the other piece of this puzzle. When a Coburn or an Inhofe or a Graham or any of these other freaks say we can't do it, I don't think it's dirty pool to say why are you being un-American.
Exactly.
Oh, that would just cheapen the discourse. Well, you know what? The discourse is pretty cheap by now. And
yeah.
it's been cheapened by 8 years of he's a Muslim.
And it gets cheapened by people like Mike Huckabee who wants to boycott Doritos because of their rainbow Doritos. You know, first it was marriage, now the guys are changing the traditional definition of tortilla chips.
You know, that's almost funny. It is funny.
Well, you know.
Except, you know. God meant tortilla chips to be either yaller or white and occasionally blue, but he didn't mean to have no goddamn rainbow chips for the Homer sectionals.
He did cite a biblical passage, a man shall not Frito-Lay with a man as a woman.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It is unnatural. There ain't no green corn. You know, except
actually,
it is. Hello, Brother Huxterby. Do you have a minute for me to tell you about Shifei Totec's plan for your life? Yeah, we're back to that again.
Yeah, have some spaghetti.
Hmm. No.
That's my rant for today. So.
Well, and I'm glad you made it. It's been far too long, Ms. Carroll. Far too long indeed.
Yes, we
are. And thank you for the $27.27.
Hey, I'm a giver.
And I'm a cipherer.
I'm a better giver than you are a cipherer.
Well, that's true, but I mean they are both true statements. And
but it's pure entertainment. Oh my gosh.
I have to snort a goodies headache powder after the program.
I know, but it all started with eat a shit sandwich, Carol. I'm making you pay for that, and it's worth every penny.
Well, we are down. We got $33.52 to meet in Sister Jones' prayer meeting Wednesday.
Oh,
love
come
offering.
On, Bernistas, pony up.
And after that, that'll take us down to $250 to go to catch up with the backlog.
Oh, come on, guys. We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. Come on, minions. Be good givers. It's your best quality. And on that note,
all guys chilling said amen.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Carol. Amen and amen.
All right.
Have a good and you know, don't go stalking the local Hooterville radio talent.
Oh well, I just do that for kicks.
I know, but you don't want the local constabulary showing up thinking that you're a desperate Muslim you slurper terrorist.
I am.
Because I got a story here. You'll hang up, and then because you were doing numbers, weren't you?
It's true. I invoked the demon mathematics.
And you know where them numbers come from, didn't you?
Satan.
Arabs.
Oh, that's right. It's true.
Mm-hmm. I got a story. Right. Don't tune out just because you're not on the program no more.
I'm not, but I'm out of here, and I'm back to the feed.
All right. Carol Baker.
All right. Love you, brother.
Later. The one and only Carol Baker live from Hooterville. Accept no substitutes. No, if you're going to fool around with numbers, and, you know, I've been endangering my immortal soul doing all this ciphering, apparently. Down Florida way, where they don't just have somebody that sacrifices goats and drinks its blood, yum, yum, under tooled leather. Kayla Normandin is upset. Now, she's not upset like the mama was in Texas, who found out that slaves were simply referred to as workers. And our buddy Bob down in Texas points out that Bob in Texas, workers are slaves. Probably pretty close. She got upset at her boy's high school world history class textbook. And she's upset that there is a whole chapter in that book on your Muslims and things that they've done in the Islamic world. Islamic! Mm-hmm. And she has done went through the entire book. And them 35 pages has her right pissed off. And thank you, technology, for making it possible for people like Kayla Normandin to share her thoughts, and I use the term loosely, with the world. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have a klaxon handy, so we'll have to use the cowbell. Hockey puck warning. Hockey puck. Get 2-3 strips. I mean, you're going to want to go round and round and round with the duct tape for this one. Friends, neighbors, members of the Horn Family Commune Congregation, herein on this here prayer meeting Wednesday assembled, I give to you, defender of the faith, the most pious and puissant Christian Kayla Normandin. Ecce homo. Oh, damn. She's disappeared it. It wasn't disappeared before the program. God dang it. I was all worked up for that. I wanted you to hear it in its original redneck. I mean, I can tell you what it's about, but I wanted you to hear it. Because it is, in fact, that special. Christian Kayla Normandin, upset about 35 pages on the Islam in her son's world history textbook,
Here we go. Oh, yeah. The goddess of irony loveth us. We shall all sacrifice a rubber chicken immediately after the program. No, wait till midnight. That's when the goddess is really paying attention. Here she is. Oh, here she is.
So everybody, I would do a video on my son's world history book. For his sixth period class, sophomore year at North Marion High School. Now, there is one whole chapter, and it's chapter 10, that starts on page 116 and goes to 151. And it tells nothing, basically everything about Muslim civilizations and Shihara law.
Yeah, really. Shihara law. I thought Shihara law lived three trailers down. Oh, careful, Bob, you hillbilly elitist, you. Shihara law. And yes, you can tell she can do her ciphering and her gazintas, because that is 35. And you can get, and I'll bet it's fairly big print for a sophomore world history textbook, you can get the entirety of Islamic culture into 35 pages. Mm-hmm. Yep. 35 pages. I mean, that's going to come as a surprise to the people who wrote the hadiths, let alone the Quran, which is a lot more than 35 pages. But anyway, so you got your Shihara law. Yeah, I remember the Halcon days when we would live under Shihara law as we listened to the Calliope music among the fagoots. Mm-hmm.
You name it, it talks about it. Now,
I mean, you name it, it talks about it. All kinds of Muslim stuff in them 35 pages.
Sorry, I'm going to be moving the camera around a lot so you can see this.
Well, we won't.
I'm going to show you.
Uh-huh.
So that you see, chapter 10 is about Muslim civilizations, period.
Muslim civilizations, period. I'm not sure what the punctuation is meant to denote, but we'll just have to live in our ignorance until Christian Kayla Normandin sees fit to explain it to us.
See that? Muslim civilization.
It's a Muslim.
All right there.
All of it.
Okay. Now, I've went through this entire book.
Every word.
And I have an issue because in every chapter, they bring up something about Muslim or Islam. Under Islam nation, all of it.
In every chapter? Really? An Islam nation. Yes, Betsy, she said, I've went. If you stick around long enough, you may get the gold standard of an I've tooken. I told you you wanted the hockey puck. Don't doubt me. I don't just say things here. Betsy says, send her to my class, please. Last period Tuesdays and Thursdays. Now, Betsy, she's past help, okay? And I'm going to refrain from any comments on her appearance. I think the words alone will prove sufficient. Maybe she's wearing that three sizes too small little spaghetti strapped gray and pink trimmed cami top to prove that she ain't no Muslim living under. What was it again? Shiara law. Yeah. Shiara of the jungle. Yeah. No, that was She-Ra, wasn't it?
The one thing that sticks out to me is the impact on the Crusades. Now,
this is going to be good. Cleetette is going to... Jeremy in Vermont says she sounds like she's straight out of AMC's Breaking Bad. Won't fight you. She's one thing that got her was the Crusades. Not an easy topic to cover in 500 pages, let alone a paragraph. But Christian Kayla Normandin's got it for us. Remember, we're on the Crusades here.
I was told by this teacher the students would be learning about other religions. Or not the teacher, I'm sorry, the principal.
Which
of
was
the school.
It?
And I'm just going to read this little paragraph, the only paragraph that basically tells us the impact of the Crusades.
Okay, we are waiting.
So this is what they tell, this is what they're teaching the kids. The Crusades left a bitter legacy of religious hatred. In the Middle East, both Christian and Muslims committed appalling atrocities in the name of religion.
Okay, any objections? I think at least they're not this isn't quite on the same par with slaves being referred to as workers. Pretty factually accurate so far.
In Europe, crusaders sometimes turned their religious fury against Jews, massacring entire communities.
True.
The Crusaders arrived in the Middle East at a time when various Muslim regimes were struggling amongst themselves for control of the religion.
Also true.
These groups rallied together to fight the invaders and under Saladin began to reunify the religion from Egypt to Syria.
Also true, although generally I think we redneck it as Saladin. Saladin. But he's Saladin. Rhymes with Bin Laden, see?
Though the Crusaders failed...
Don't make fun. She's still going to the Read Aloud program down to the public library every Thursday.
...themselves for control of the religion. These groups rallied together to fight the invaders and under Saladin began to reunify the religion from Egypt to Syria. Though the Crusaders failed to keep control of the Holy Land... The Crusades did have significant effects on life in Europe. These wars helped to quicken the pace of changes that were already underway.
Still, not exactly scintillating. Thank you, Betsy. You may want to reach out to her on Facebook. Betsy says, my reading class is Mondays and Wednesdays from 2 to 3:30 and every other Friday. Long way from the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park Part and Country Club Part 2 of Florida there to Austin, Betsy. You may have to go on a missionary trip. There was a little smirk there, by the way, after hastened the pace of change in Europe.
Okay, so... You see that they're not telling the full truth about the Crusades.
No? You might want to go right... Okay, so we've got the duct tape and the hockey puck. At this point in time, you might want to use the duct tape to put your hands... to just tape them to the arm of the chair, because otherwise you may be tearing at your hair. I got a feeling we're in for a ride.
By the way, Carol has offered to host you on your trek across the new United States of Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth today, now, forever, Betsy, if you should decide to take the missionary trip. Okay. Because she's got that Mussolini down scowl going on now. I think she's upset. Doesn't tell the whole truth about the Crusades. Doesn't tell the good part.
None whatsoever. Now, this chapter...
Because she knows some Crusades, by the way.
On Islam and Muslim civilization, all of it.
But we didn't find... What didn't they tell us about the Crusades there, Christian Kayla Normandin? Ooh, Normandin... Normans. I bet she's got some Crusader kinfolk back in her history.
Basically talks about the rise of Islam. Muhammad becomes a prophet. Muhammad becomes God's messenger. The Hijra turning point.
Wesh Edith, huh? The hee-haw turning point? Hee-hee-haw-haw. I'm not even quite sure what that was supposed to be. The hee-haw turning point. Is that where Archie Campbell wrestles for control of the caliphate? Or Buck Owens and Roy Clark? Big Note Islamic Guitar Songbook? The Hee-Haw... Oh, wait. Is she talking about the Hijra? Which I'm probably also mispronouncing. But she lives in Florida, so she's trying to show her cultural sensitivity by pronouncing all J's as H's? Honest to God, this is like Odysseus lashed to the mast without the beeswax in his ears. You lucky few.
The teachings of Islam, the Muslim study of the Quran, and the Muslims follow duties.
They follow what? Ditties? Yes, we have no bananas. Merca. Oh, I mentioned the too tight by three sizes cami. Yeah, I think we have a Prestesis tattoo going on here. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. The hee-haw turning point.
People of the book. And then one whole page is dedicated to the five pillars of Islam, and I'll show you that.
Oh, there it is in real living color.
Five pillars of Islam.
Five pillars. When everybody knows that on your average double bed, you don't need but four pillars. See, that's the way your Muslims is overtaken and destroying our Merkin way of life. They want five pillars, not four. Oh, help me. We're going to get through, I promise.
Some of this, it really bothers me to read. So
I think it probably bothers her to read the goddamn Reader's Digest or the menu down at Denny's, but who am I?
Oh, just please bear with me because...
We're barren,
baby.
We don't
agree with it.
We're barren.
It teaches about the Shihara Islamic system of law.
Well, of course it does. By the way, under your Old Testament law, your tattoos are banned, even if they say only God can judge me.
The impact of Islam on women.
Yeah.
Now, in here, it does state that before Islam, the position of women in the Arab society varied.
Yep, it did vary in your Arab society. Apparently, she's been to North Central Alabama.
That's where you pronounce A-R-A-B is Arab. Arab, Alabama. I think it's in Arab, Alabama that they've got that big old unclaimed baggage freight store from the airlines. Or so maybe there's some outlet stores, and she's done been to the... Oh, God. Does she know Bristol Palin?
And in some communities, women were active in the religion, trade, or politics, as in most societies at the time. However,
I can read!
Most women had limited rights. Arab women could not inherit property and had to obey male guardian. Among few tribes, unwanted daughters were sometimes killed at birth.
Okay, that's twice there, where she ditched an article. The first one, I think, was the, but among few tribes, female children were killed at birth. That is one of those places where the article really comes in handy. If it's among a few tribes, girl children were killed at birth, that means one thing. Among few tribes, girl children were killed at birth means significantly another. But that's me, and I'm a long-time practitioner of the art of word knowing. This is your country. Even though this one is in Florida, somebody like this probably lives within a stone's throw of you, whether you realize it or not. Even in places you consider to be civilized. But I think she had to wipe away a tear over the few. Never mind. Yep, okay. Sniffle.
Although spiritually equal under Islam, men and women had different roles and rights. For example, women inherited less than men and had a more difficult time getting a divorce. Islam spread. Muslims adopted practices of conquered peoples. For example, the practices of veiling upper-class women. In a separate part of the home, the Quran says that women should dress modestly, which has been interpreted in multiple ways.
None of which include three times two small little gray cami tops with pink trim and spaghetti straps that display your breastus tattoo. Yeah, see. What you gotta understand is this here is a voter. Now we know they go to their tea rump rallies and whatnot, and they say, yeah, but the problem in America is Muslims. And we go, oh my God. And then Ben Carson says, I wouldn't be comfortable with a Muslim. I wouldn't be comfortable with a Muslim president. Hang in there.
Well, the things that I've been seeing about women with Muslims is not what they're describing in here. And then there's a primary...
Because, you know, she lives right next door to a Muslim. Maybe even dances with her down to the pink pony. That was uncalled for, Bob. Damn it. Shame on you. I apologize.
Primary source page, and it's all about the Quran. Even has verses from the Quran.
Really? Verses? Damn.
You see that?
Yeah, verses. I see them. Christian Kayla Normandin.
Okay. Then there's the building of the Muslim Empire, the Arabs unite under Islam.
United Arabs of Islam. Mm-hmm. Yep. It gets you every time. Well, this is driving a few of y'all a little bit crazy.
Irish Dave says, I was thinking that the Yeehaw turning point was when the Arabs rounded up the pillars of wisdom to 7 from the 6.66. Fuzzy math, I expert guessed. You are a wise man, Irish Dave. Wise, wise, wise beyond your years. And as crazy and goofy as this is, we haven't gotten to the real apex, the acme of stupid. We haven't gotten there. You're just sitting there quietly sort of noshing along on your hockey puck thinking, well, this ain't so bad. I mean, it's just like all the time.
Uh-uh. Victories, divisions emerge within Islam, Sufis, expanding of the Muslim empire, the reasons for Muslim success, treatment of conquered people, the decline of Umayyad and Caliphate, I believe, is how it says.
Yeah, I believe.
Changes under Abbasidus, splendors of Baghdad.
Splendors of Baghdad? Oh, you know, when you get your splendors of Baghdad, you may never get them out of your little feet. Because, you know, your Europeans hadn't invented your tweezers yet. Which meant that nobody had artfully shaped eyebrows, neither.
The Muslim Empire declines, and then...
Well, can't Christian Kayla Normandin at least say that that's the good part, where the Muslim Empire declines?
Mongols sweep across Central Asia. Muslim civilization golden age. Social and economic advances.
You know, I resemble the remark that there was a Muslim golden age. Now, Devin, you will smoke a turd in hell for that. FYI, the pink pony used to be a KFC. I've heard it still tastes like chicken. Oh. Devin. Oh, she heard that word, she believes. She heard that word on the Glenbeck, and that's how she knows it, because she's a learning there at the Glenbeck University.
Manufactured goods are highly valued. They're manufactured goods.
Yeah, theirs. They're muslin goods.
Agriculture thrives. Social structure and slavery. Muslim art, literature, and architecture.
Now, at this point, she's just reading topical headings without bothering with any of the text, because the text has more of them big words in it. But, I mean, wouldn't you want your kid to know about these things? Because I have yet to hear anything that says that one was better than the other. This sounds like pretty objective history. Might make, but the thing, I guess she's afraid that her young'un, yeah, God knows, she reproduced. Somewhere in there, there's a joke about the right to choose. I guess she's afraid that her kid will get curious and try to learn more, instead of just hating them outright. That's the best I can do. But we're not done. Oh, no.
Religious buildings, non-religious art, but some Muslims, artists painted humans and animals. Muslims seeking knowledge, centers of learning, philosophy and history.
Yeah, they didn't have none of that.
Muslim advances in astronomy.
At least she didn't say astrology.
Mathematics, medicine, and it even has the...
We're going to back up. We're going to back up here, because I want you to get a real good grip, because you're going to be screaming. Neighbors is liable to come over if you don't have the hockey puck.
Numerals are highly valued. They're manufactured goods. Agriculture thrives. Social structure and slavery. Muslim art, literature, and architecture. Religious buildings, non-religious art, but some Muslims artists painted humans and animals. Muslims seeking knowledge, centers of learning, philosophy, and history. Muslim advances in astronomy, mathematics, medicine, and it even has the origin of Arabic numerals. So Eastern Muslim regions, Western Muslim regions, and modern Western. And it shows you actually how to write them.
It shows you how to write the Arabic numerals. It's worse than we thought. Arabic numerals. Damn. We was getting along just fine with our good Christian Roman numerals. Except these kind of popish. Arabic numerals. And it shows you right there how to write them. I mean, there's that one number, and it's just a straight line. And then there's your two, and oh my God, it looks like just one of our twos that Jesus give us. And then there's three. They done stole our numbers. They done stole our good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian numbers. And they's calling them Arabic. Teaching people how to write them and making them think they's Arab numbers. Well, them's the Arab numbers they got to use to number their verses in their Arab Bible. Arabic. Arabic numerals.
Right there. And then we got Islamic art. Then India's Muslim empires.
Well, I'll be dipped. I had no idea. Betsy telling me right now that most kids who are native speakers of Arabic use a different set of numbers. Well, that's probably your secret your secret Shiara numbers. God, this hurts. I'll be dipped. Well, now according to the Wikipedia, we got us some European numbers, but then there's Arabic Indic and Eastern Arabic Indic numbers. And everything appears to look like seven. I mean, six looks like... Oh, my God. What have we come to? We're under attack. The Kenyan Muslim usurper is going to send his secret UN army across the dry parts of the Rio Grande River and make everybody use Arabic numbers.
The Sultan of Delhi defeats the Hindus. Muslim rule of changes Indian government and society. The Sultans lose.
You don't even want to think what she thinks Indian means. You don't want to know. Don't ponder it. Just make your head hurt. Probably brain cells will die.
Power. Muslims and Hindus clash. The blending of cultures. You guys, pretty much all of this whole thing is about everything. There's...
Uh-oh. I think maybe somebody had some of the ashish. Wait a minute, that's another one in Muslim words, before she made her video. I mean, this thing is like pretty much about, you know, everything. Oh, pot hurts. It makes you forget things. This is your brain. This is your brain on right wing.
There's nothing that talks negatively, the negative side of Muslims.
So she wants a part in there and says, and of course, all Muslims is evil Christ killers who hate America.
Other than what we read, that sometimes the daughters were killed at birth, unwanted daughters. But other than that, they don't really talk about the negative sides of, you know, Islam.
You mean the war part and the conquering part wasn't negative enough for you? Then again, she probably digs war.
Or Muslim. Now, at the end, there's a quick study guide, and it's basically all about the key leaders, Muhammad, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Ali, Mawe, whatever.
Yeah, Ali, but whatever. Devin's out there suffering with the rest of us. Arg, I was going to need an Arabilator later. Arabilator. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Jeremy in Vermont pointing out, you know, Bob, you just know she has no clue that Islam comes from the same stories that her Bible comes from and that Iraq was the cradle of civilization. No, of course not. You're really taking her to a bridge too far there, Jeremy. Arthur wants to know, what's next? Potatoes of French-style provenance? A French fry, if you will? Stupid, it burns. It burns as us.
A lot of this is just really disturbing.
Yeah, her precious baby boy in 10th grade, a learning of the world history, is really disturbing. Arthur says, this lady could, and he uses the term loosely, could read a recipe out loud, and in her mind she's reading something menacing. Chicken is cut into quarters, rub salt on the skin, preheat oven to 350, not the oven!
Because none of the other chapters in this book, and I'll show you the back of it.
Oh good, we're going to get the back of the book.
And it will tell you that they write, okay, there are chapters.
Okay, so there are chapters. We got that part nailed down. Good.
But they join everything together and always bring up Islam and Muslim in each chapter. I've read through all of them.
I don't believe it. I simply do not believe it. You could not convince me. There is no way that if she read it, I mean, if she read every chapter, I'd say she'd have maybe a chance of pulling down at least a 33% on any one, like a 100-question test. Uh-uh. Nope, sorry. Every chapter's about them Muslims somehow. I tell you what, I think there's potential for her to be a big internet YouTube star. Just chapter by chapter by chapter. You know what I just want to hear her read the, if there's a chapter in there about the highly advanced civilizations of pre-Columbian Americas. I want to QUETZALCOATL. I just want to hear it. I think she might just pass away on the spot. Some Muslim. Because every chapter's got Muslims in it.
And there's always somewhere in this whole book that...
It's not a half a book. It's a whole book, damn it.
They bring up Islam or Muslim. Now, this is the whole back side of the book.
Well, world history.
World history.
Uh-huh.
Tells you the chapters.
Got a Muslim barcode.
We need to stand up against this, y'all.
Yeah, y'all. We got to stand up against this. They're taking our Confederate flags and making our children learn about the Muslims. Betsy says, I want to hear her on the phone requesting dictionaries in Kinyarwanda and Kinyamalunga and Malayalam. Yeah, you were trying to get me with that, weren't you, Betsy? Yeah. Oh, this is one of those folks you just want to knock on her door and just start talking. I'm here for the entertainment. Yes, a barcode. A barcode. Sign of the beast. Which is probably Muslim.
Our children don't need to be taught this. It's not teaching them facts. It's not teaching them truth.
I'm slowly being reduced to just a series of clicks, grunts, and strange little forest animal noises. It's not teaching them facts. It's not teaching them truth. Oh, you dumbass! Everything was a fact. But no, she wants truth. You know, truth like she hears on the Glenn Beck and the Bron Fisher before she goes to work at night. Jeremy in Vermont says, let me sum up her thoughts. Here we go, using them words again loosely. Columbus discovered Mecca, Abraham Lincoln slain the vampires, and George Washington couldn't tell a lie. I think we have a winner. Especially for George Washington. Yeah. This is kind of a multi-cowbell story, isn't it? She's whining about her kid learning something she obviously hasn't. Wow.
It's basically telling them that this is going to...
Her, by the way, her number one word that makes her feel real smart is to say basically.
...to be the way of life. And... like I said, in each chapter, it brings up something that has to do with how Islam affects that. And it doesn't matter if they're talking about, you know, basic...
There it is.
About global food evolves. They bring up Islam.
Because, you know, your Islams, with their Shira law, they don't eat no food.
This is world history. Why is 90% of this book talking about Islam?
Clearly, it's not a mathematics text, because I don't think that she can calculate 90% of that book being a reference to Islam.
Now...
And by the way, let me just say I'm feeling real good about my cipher and my gazettas right now. Thank you very much. And thank you very kindly to Jack in Shreveport. Jack in Shreveport has taken our fundraising down to, $8.52 to go to meet Joan's prayer meeting Wednesday challenge. Hallelujah, glory. Thank you, Jack. We can do this. At the beginning of all of this, which seems almost a day ago now, I said that I was glad that these devices allow people to put their idiocy out there. I don't know how glad I am. This thing has had 42,908 views. And there's a whole lot of those 42,908 people that think she's right on the money. There's Cletus's and Emery's and Marvelines in Maryland and Tennessee and Georgia, who've also gone outraged to their SKU principal or their SKU board, disgusted that their children's is having to even learn that there's Muslims in the world. Or if we're going to have to tell them there's Muslims, can we at least tell them how evil they is, basically?
I also want to show you that this is also a part of the Common Core.
Oh, I bet it's part of Agenda 21, too.
It states right here, copyright 2013 Pearson Education Incorporated or its affiliates. And then right below it, it says, Common Core State Standards, copyright 2010.
Well, there you
go. Right there.
Right there.
Pearson.
And she points it out with her finger. And there's a Lee press-on nail there that's about, I'd say, an inch and a half long. Brittany. I'm sorry, her name's Christian Kayla.
What's your guys' views on this? A whole chapter, almost 40 pages.
35, almost 40. Jade Helm!
And then all the other chapters.
Benghazi!
That are talking about Muslim religion or the effects of Islam on our world history now.
Because everybody knows them Islams ain't had no effect on world history.
And it doesn't speak of them in any kind of negative light. I don't agree with it.
She don't agree with not making your Muslims negative, especially what with them and their and their Shi'ara law. Roger in Oregon getting into the spirit of things. Disappointed she wasn't the valedictorian of her homeschool class. God, she's got homeschool written all over her. I didn't even think of that, Roger, but you're absolutely right. Oh, and thank you to the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan, who must by now be pretty near having a conniption and giving up on the idea of education altogether. We have met and exceeded Joan's challenge for this evening. Thank you, Diane, and thank you, Joan. So we got that last 852 out of the way, which means that, let's see, we've knocked it down. Let's see, 4352. I need a math textbook, but it's probably got Muslims in it. But anyway, we're probably right down close, real nearby, to having about maybe $211 to go in fundraising for the evening. So thank you very kindly, Diane. Dear Jesus. Christian Kayla Normandin's going to outlast us.
If they can teach this, where's the full chapters on Catholicism? Where's the full chapters on Lutheran religion? And if we want to even go that far, atheist?
That far, you know, you're atheists.
Paganism? Where are those full chapters, 40 pages long?
I thought you said 35.
Teaching about that religion or those religions. The principal lied to me and said that they were going to be learning about other religions. I've looked through this. They give you little bits and pieces.
You mean like they gave little bits and pieces? Because I'm pretty sure that it takes a lot more than a 35. I mean, because there's PhD scholars out there with PhD scholarly degrees in Islam and Shi'ara law. And they read more. It took a lot more than 35 pages.
I don't give you a whole chapter.
She said a whole.
On each religion. Thought religion wasn't allowed in school.
No, dumbass. We're down to dumbass now. Schools are not allowed to endorse a particular religion. So until they've got your precious little picking his teeth with his toenail clipping son down on a prayer mat facing Mecca, you need to, and I'm looking for a scientific term here. Oh yeah, shut the f*** up.
But they're teaching Islam. I don't agree with it. I will be waiting for another phone call back from the principal because this is getting brought to his attention. I don't appreciate being lied to.
You're a hard ass.
And
you got a tattoo on your
boobie. I will go as far as I have to.
Yeah, we know you will.
To get this out.
She wants 40 pages on Satanism, damn it.
My children aren't going to learn this. My son even wrote on his paper. So when are we going to learn about other religions? And when are we going to be able to start flying our flags at school? I was proud of him for that. And he even said from now on, he don't even want to be in that class. If they talk about it, he's going to get up and walk out.
Oh, good. Because, you know, that's going to make a better America. Because he's going to walk out. Did you notice the part about why won't they let us fly our flags? What did I say at the beginning? Mm-hmm. Yep. We got us a devotee of the devil's diaper here. We got us a Confederate. Score.
And he has every right to.
And you know what? The school system has every right to bounce his little ass right out of the school system, too. Because that, once he gets to be about 16 down there in Florida, Stan, that'll constitute quitting school.
He can bring that grade up. He's in all A's classes. So, hopefully, with his reaction to all of this as well, other students will follow along and realize what they're being taught is wrong.
Except everything she read was goddamn right. It's moments like this you kind of look up and go, ah, I think we're done. As a country, you know. Done. Toast. Stick a fork in us. It's over. Irish Dave says, I'm confused. Is menu item number F Arabical? I'm sorry, Carol. I warned you. I told you what was coming. Carol says, I don't appreciate sitting here drooling uncontrollably, eyes glazed at the sheer dumb fuckery. Well, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Oh, and before we get out of here, thank you very kindly to our buddy Thomas Jug of Punch, who just wiped out the odd cents and took us down below $200 for fundraising for the evening. Thank you very much indeed. So it's a nice round number. Two zeros. Which aren't Arabic! Islamic! Thanks, everybody. Thanks for a wonderful evening. Back with Thorn in the Side Thursday tomorrow. I hope we all get over this by then. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you. Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And ACACT, ACHEACT.ORG. Thank you very kindly, Joan, for making the challenge this evening. Thank you to everyone who responded. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.